Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Just looking at a text that we got here, Dean, about our conversation yesterday.
I didn't say it. I didn't do it.
No, this is about West Side Story. Bob, the likely age group that would like to see West Side Story hasn't been to a theater in 2 years. We hope it won't be another 2 years before we feel safe enough to go back again. So maybe that explains why it's been a box office flop. What do you think?
For the most part, that is 1,000% true. They actually did a survey to see who is going to see this movie. And it is older people. It's predominantly female. And that is a very small percentage of the group of people who are going to the theaters right now that's, mm-hmm. you know, that feel like it's safe to go to the theaters. If you look at the movies that have been most successful this year, Spider-Man is, you know, breaking all the records. That is an 18 to 24-year-old movie predominantly. Obviously, there are people outside of that group that are going. And Venom, which was another, you know, Marvel movie, superhero movie, predominantly 18 to 24 year olds as well. They're the ones going to the theaters right now, and the adults just would rather stay home.
Have they shot the Spider-Man spinoff yet?
It's not a spinoff of the Spider-Man movie per se, but it's a spinoff of the mythology of it that is set in the same time period of it. It's called Morbius. It stars Jared Leto, and that not only has been shot, it's been sitting on the shelf for almost 2 years as well. Morbius was supposed to have come out in July of 2020, and they postponed it because of the pandemic. But then it was supposed to come out this month, and now they've postponed it again for a sixth time because of the variants that are floating around right now, and the scheduled release date for that now is April 1st. They also feel like they're postponing it because this movie falls right in that same pattern as Spider-Man No Way Home and Venom that are making all kinds of money at the box office, and they kind of feel like this movie will do the same thing, but they want to get past the January doldrums first, when people are likely to go out when the weather gets a little nicer.
All right, let's get to the showbiz lawsuit of the day. This is involving Nirvana.
Yeah, this just came out this morning. A lawsuit that claimed that the cover of Nirvana's album Nevermind, that famous album of the naked baby on the cover of their album that came out in 1991. The lawsuit alleged that it was child pornography. Spencer Eldon was the guy who was the naked baby featured on the cover of that album. He sued Nirvana, alleging sexual exploitation and child sexual abuse. Nirvana counterfiled against him, asking the case to be dismissed, saying that this guy actually embraced and profited from being the naked baby on that album cover, pointing out that he actually has the word "never mind" tattooed across his chest and sold autographed copies of the album on eBay. A judge dismissed the case. He had until December 30th to respond, missed that deadline, so it's dead for now, but he does have until January 13th to decide if he wants to refile that case if he chooses. But for now, that case is done.
And now we know how much David Bowie's 26 studio albums are worth,
This is happening all the time now. Bruce Springsteen sold his catalog for a record-breaking amount. Bob Dylan did. Neil Young did. All in excess of $100 million. And now David Bowie's estate has sold his songwriting catalog to the Warner Music Group for a reported $250 million. And this includes the rights to all of the 26 studio albums, all of the collaborations, all the posthumous releases that would have come out, this coming Saturday would have marked David Bowie's 75th birthday. Died of cancer 6 years ago. But this is what a lot of these old school artists are doing right now, which is why I want to make the announcement that old cassette tapes of some of my shows from when I was on WFYR 100 years ago, I'm willing to sell the rights to all of that if you want to hear me introduce Barry Manilow songs, Air Supply songs.
Oh, you got to cash in on that.
Neil Diamond songs. I'm happy to sell them all off. More than happy. Happy to get rid of them, really, is what I'm saying.
Okay, Dean, let's straighten this out for everyone. Betty White did not have COVID. She died of natural causes, correct?
That is what we are being told by her manager, one of her best friends. People are trying to politicize Betty White's death, saying that, one, that she had COVID, and two, that she had received her COVID booster shot just 3 days before she died, implying that it was the booster shot that killed her. And that is not at all what happened. Her agent said that she died of natural causes. She was 99 years old, a couple of weeks away from her 100th birthday, and she died in her sleep at home. And, you know, he says that is the true story on that. Betty White should not be politicized. It's not at all what she stood for in life, and he doesn't want her to be wrapped up in that now with her death. What I think is also very interesting on the Betty White front are what is being described as her last words. Vicki Lawrence was talking with her manager shortly before she passed away, and so was Carol Burnett. They both starred with Betty White on Mama's Family, you know, the spinoff of the Carol Burnett sketch, both on the Carol Burnett Show and then when the show, you know, became a spinoff all by itself. So they were pretty good friends with Betty White. And they were told by the manager that Betty's last words were calling out the name of her late husband, Alan Ludden, the legendary host of the TV show Password. Alan Ludden died in 1981, and you know, Betty had told me several times that Alan was the love of her life. She never remarried. She always said, you know, that Alan was her, you know, the husband would be forever. And you know, the calling out his name at the very end, or as her final words, is somehow very sweet to me, very, very, very touching to me.
Storybook life, storybook death for Betty White.
Yeah.
And the tribute to her is going on. It's pretty much produced and was for some time, wasn't it? The 100th celebration.
Yeah, this is going to be a presentation that will take place on her what would have been her 100th birthday, which is January 17th at a variety of movie theaters. It's a tribute, you know, greatest hits of her career, clips of interviews with her, with people who knew her best, you know, her friends, even her talking about her life and her career. So if you go to any of the ticket selling sites or just, you know, Google Betty White film tribute, it'll take you exactly to where you need to be if you are interested in purchasing tickets to that. I know tickets were selling like crazy before she passed away, so it's possible that a lot of the theaters now may be already sold out for that.
And now let's get to the truth about Andy Cohn. CNN calling the Radar Online story that he would not be asked back to co-host New Year's Eve on CNN the garbage. What are you hearing about this?
Well, here's what we know, that after Andy Cohn's drunken rant, rants really, very plural, on the CNN Countdown show, senior staffers at CNN said it was embarrassing and that his drunken behavior you know, should not be rewarded with return visits, and that he should not be invited back. That's what Radar Online is reporting with all of that. One source is saying that Anderson Cooper doesn't want to host next year's special either. So if Anderson Cooper is on it, it's very unlikely that Andy Cohn would be there anyway. But CNN is saying that they dealt with it with Andy Cohn. They, you know, talked to him, took him to the woodshed, I guess. But they are saying, according to reports, that they look forward to having him back next year. Mm-hmm. If you think about what's being said about the New Year's countdown shows, aside from how great the WGN countdown show was,
of course,
that's really what America is talking about most. But the big headline of countdown shows is that Andy Cohn was drunk on mm-hmm. CNN, mm-hmm. and I got to think that as a lot of us find that very distasteful and extremely irresponsible, putting somebody on the air who you know is going to get drunk on the air and, you know, maybe not do exactly the most responsible things, it is drawing a lot of attention to CNN. And, you know, I'm sure that part of CNN doesn't mind that it's getting all this free publicity and reminding people, hey, don't forget to tune in next year to see what irresponsible thing we're going to do on the air next year.
Yeah, so. I was thinking the same thing. CNN executives figuring, well, this will be a ratings bonanza next year. Well, let's remind people about this. I can see the promos now for next year.
Right. Slurry Andy Cohn. Hey, you know what? If Anderson Cooper doesn't want to be on it, bring back Kathy Griffin to co-host with Andy Cohn if you really want.
What'll Andy do this year? Yeah.
Bonanza, yeah. Now, it's interesting because, you know, Cohn, he sort of apologized the day after, saying that he was overserved, but he still had fun. And yesterday he went a little further with this. After literally these slurring attacks, you were playing them yesterday, in which he attacked the then mayor of New York, de Blasio, mm-hmm. and Ryan Seacrest and the ABC New Year's show, which was positioned right behind their platform, and the rock band Journey. And Facebook. I mean, he just went nuts. He says he regrets attacking Seacrest and ABC, but nobody else.
It's called a non-apology apology.
Yeah, that's all. I apologize to you and you, but not you and you.
What are you guys doing on television with Frozen today? Is that today?
Yeah. I went about a week or so ago. I went over to the Cadillac Palace Theater. And we spent the afternoon there just, you know, watching how they put the show together. It's really amazing. And what was most amazing was the character Sven, who is the reindeer buddy of Kristoff. For those of you who have seen the movie, if you've got kids, I know that you've seen the movie Frozen about 500 times in your house. There is an actor inside that reindeer suit, and the process of transforming him into Sven is really fascinating. It's an 80-pound costume that this guy is wearing that takes about 45 minutes to put on. And we've just kind of compiled it down a little bit together so you can see what the transformation looks like. We're going to be running it again later this morning on TV, and we'll post it up on the website for those of you who are interested in seeing it. The show is over at the Cadillac Palace Theater through January 22nd, if you're looking for something to do with the kids.
Now, let me quickly put something in your head for tomorrow and beyond, Dean. When you're on television right before 6 in the morning, now you're being simulcast on WGN Radio. Since we start at 6,
I know.
You guys are simulcast 4 to 6. So when you tease what's coming up at 5:57, remember, you're on the radio at that time, too.
Yeah,
I
could tease what's coming up on my segment with Bob.
There you go.
Later on. That wouldn't hurt. Maybe put a nice picture of you up on the screen as well. Glittery, Maybe you get one of your old silver dollar survey pictures and put that up. How about that?
Yeah. It's my bar mitzvah picture is on those.
Oh, see, there you go.
Thank you, Dean.